CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is the time. We get together every weekday afternoon, live radio, and you can call in a question, and we're going to do our very best to answer that from the Bible. You know, we're living in some very, very trying times. We have people redefining what news is, what everything is. Friends, we need to be sharper than we've ever been before. And I believe that comes through God's word. You know, we find so many things that are lying to us. They're finding out more and more. Our American news media has horribly lied to us about so many things over the pandemic, over all the stuff going on. Hey, listen, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, listen, we need truth today more than any other time in the history of our lives. You're not going to find it on the internet. You're not going to find it in the news media. You're going to find it in God's word. Because again, he's a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. His word, that's exactly what it does. So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call, we got some lines open, 8888-ASK-CSN, real simple, toll free. And you can be part of the program with me today. Joining me today, special guest that comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer, John Rendell from Calvary Chapel South OC down in Southern Orange County, San Clemente. Hi and welcome.
Mike, great to be here with you. So glad, looking forward to these Tuesdays and being with our friends around the country, hoping that we get some calls from, well, around the United States, 8888-ASK-CSN. Looking forward to what we have today.
Amen. And so exciting times. And we got some stuff going on up in the Boise area. Tell us about it.
Oh, thank you, Mike, for asking. Coming up here on August the 29th, calling all men, we are having a Treasure Valley Men's Conference. And if you are interested in being a part of this conference, we would love to have you come out. And it's going to be exciting. Gathered there, and I've actually never been to Idaho, and this is going to be held at the center at Canyon County Fair. Wow. And if you want to find out more about it, you can go to tvmen.org. They got an incredible lineup of guys that are going to be there. I'm excited to be a part of it, and there's also a bunch of great speakers that are going to be up there. And so, man, I hope that all the guys can come out for it, Pastor Mike.
I think you have a good time, and we got people, I believe, going to it as well from our church here in Twin Falls. We're about 120 some miles away. But again, as I've always said, a church alive or an event alive is worth the drive. And so look forward to doing that. What you teaching on this Sunday?
Well, we're in the Gospel of Mark. So we're still making our way through the Gospel of Mark. And also on Wednesday night, it's going to be completing this week the book of 2 Timothy. We're so excited for that. And, one day at a time, just serving the Lord. And but those are the books we're in. Eventually, we're going to go back Wednesday night, Mike. We're going to shift back into the Old Testament. It's been a minute since I've charged through the Old Testament. So I'm going to go back. I don't want to go on record, but I will. I think we're going to hit the book of Isaiah. So there you go. Yeah, strap in. That is a book that takes a little while, but it's worth it. Incredible Old Testament prophetic book. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it's funny when God says, "Who shall I send?" Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me."
Send me
you know, Lord. That's all God looks for in all of us, is a willing heart to be about his business. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And before we go to the phones, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd like to invite you to the River Christian Fellowship. We're on the way to Shoshone Falls. Just follow the signs to the majestic Shoshone Falls, the Niagara of the West, and you're going to go right by the church to go to the waterfall. And so we'd love to see you in person, 10 o'clock, on the radio, 10:30, on all the CSN radio stations, and of course, on the internet around the world. Just adjust your clock for Mountain Standard Time, and that'll get you where you want to be. Or maybe I should say Mountain Daylight Time. You know, they're playing with that right now about to abandon daylight or to stay on daylight savings time. And Yes, some of the problems. You know, they tried this a while ago, and, you know, you had these poor kids waiting for school buses, you know, in the middle of the night as it was dark. And it was pretty tough. But, you know, the longer daytime in the afternoon is kind of fun, but I don't know. I'm glad
what happens.
I'm glad they figure all that out. You know,
right.
I got to tell you all about something. We're all going to a place where there's never going to be any night. Mm. That's right. The Bible says there is no night there, that Jesus is the light and he shines all the time. And so no more having to put up with the darkness ever again. That's one of the promises that we have in God's word as well as everything else. So great time. Again, 888-88-SCSN, and we're going to the phones. We have Brooke on the line. San Diego, hi, welcome. Brooke, are you there? We're looking for Brooke. Oh, okay.
We lost her.
Brooke, please call us back, and we'll do our very best to get to your phone call. Let's go to Jason in Twin Falls. Hi, welcome.
Hello?
Hi, we're here. How can we help?
Hi. I just have two quick questions for you. One, a friend of mine mentioned that they heard something about soul ties, meaning that we are spiritually bound to anybody we've been intimate with our entire life. And the other question is, in Genesis, another friend of mine mentioned that he believed Eve and Satan actually had sex or was intimate together. And I'm just curious what you think about that.
Well, here's the problem. It's not in the Bible. It's made up. And if we're going to go there, then you can go to the sky's the limit. Because if that's the way we're going to start exegeting scripture, what we take out of scripture, you can read in anything. It's very clear that they ate of the fruit. The Bible says that. It says that Adam knew his wife Eve and begot a son. They named him Cain. And she says, I've gotten a child from the Lord. She very much recognized that Cain was not the offspring of some illicit relationship between. And Arnold Murray and the Shepherd's Chapel, there's others out there. They just make this stuff up. And you got to be very careful because the Bible does not teach that. The Bible is very clear. Genesis 4, verse 1. It says that Adam knew his wife, Eve, and here comes Cain. It does not in any way imply, Greek, whatever you want to look at, in any shape or form, that this was a child of the offspring of the devil. That's a lie. And very clearly she said she got this child from the Lord. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, just to Jason's first questions, soul ties biblical? And the phrase soul tie, it's not found anywhere in the Bible. And I think sometimes people try to use that to describe a deep emotional or relational spiritual bond between people. You can have a relationship with somebody, but there's nothing that the Bible talks about being a soul tie as they describe it. I would say probably the closest thing to that would be, the Bible does say in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, but that's really just describing a profound friendship that these two men had with one another. They just were the closest, the best of friends. The Bible does also say in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 that the two shall become one flesh. And Jesus repeats that in Matthew chapter 19. Paul repeats it in Ephesians chapter 5. Marriage is the deepest covenant relationship God created. So one flesh really describes physical, emotional, spiritual. It's a covenantal unity. You're one with this person. And so it's biblical unity. But the whole term, and I think what some people teach as soul tie is not something that I have found in scripture that is used, Mike, that I come across anywhere.
So, and I do believe that when we get involved in that world outside of marriage, I do believe it creates problems.
Oh, 100%.
We begin to think not with our heart anymore, with what the Bible says, but we begin to think in a physical sense, and the flesh really doesn't know what it wants. In fact, there's instances in the Bible where this son wanted this girl more than anything. And then once he basically raped her, he didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that weird? What we think we want, we really don't. And that's why I believe that when we're in a dating situation, I think when it turns sexual, I think that common logic, reasoning, all of a sudden goes out of the picture, and we're thinking with our emotions and our urges and things like that. And I think this is what's led to so much trouble, because no longer do I care whether they're right with God anymore. No longer do I care about what kind of a mother or a father they would be. No more do I care about their relationship with God. It's just, I want what I want when I want it. That's going to be dangerous. You know, you pattern your life after the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. And that ain't a good thing. John, any last thoughts?
No, I couldn't agree with that more, Mike. I think there's a real danger. You know, I see this a lot. You know, Christians that, and even people who claim to be Christians, they want to move in together. They want to live together. They want to have a relationship with one another before they're married. And it's unfortunate because a lot of times you don't know if you love this person or you just like the feeling that you get when you're together. And it's really hard to discern. You start building your relationship on this physical aspect, and then you move into marriage, and the stats don't lie. A lot of people who have relationship with their spouse before they're married end up with a lot of problems because they didn't do it God's way. And at some point, you know, we think we're the exception that I'm not going to reap what I've sown. Well, actually there will be something there. What that is, I don't know, but it does come up, and that's why you want to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, you'll be blessed. God loves that relationship. He's the one that made it, created it, blessed it to be a blessing. But if you go outside of the boundaries that God has set, then it's going to be a problem. Mike, I like to think of it in this way, especially in California. You know, a fire in a fireplace is wonderful. It's warm. It's inviting. It's comfortable. You take that same fire and you throw it on an open field in California, and you could consume acres and thousands of acres and homes as a result, because it's destructive. Such is the case with a sexual relationship. You take it outside of the boundaries that God has placed it within, and you're going to have destruction. It'll affect you. It'll affect her. It'll affect everybody. So I would encourage you, hey, do it God's way, and He'll bless it.
And I do think getting involved in other people does have and can have lasting impact in your life.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Either in memories, diseases, children, all kinds of things can be a direct result of not putting the fire in the fireplace. And the thing is, what I have found, as anybody in Southern California in the fire department can tell you, once it's out of the fireplace, it's really impossible to put it back in the fireplace. I believe that's a divine miracle of God. And even then, there's been a lot of hurtful damage done in our ability to love, our ability to be loved, because you've crossed into a supernatural realm. And I do believe that is a supernatural experience. And I think that when we go outside of that, I think when it's not governed, anybody anywhere will tell you it's probably one of the most powerful personal experiences that you will ever have. And yet if it's not controlled and if it's not governed, I believe that instead of the fire being in the fireplace, it'll burn you up. And we've seen a lot of people that are so confused now in love, they don't know. I've had people say, I don't know if I can ever love again. Well, because they've experienced so many things from so many different partners that they really don't know what they're looking for in a relationship. And I believe it's only a miracle of God that heals our heart, that restores us, that we can go back and say, okay, God, I want to do it your way. And I do believe, and thankfully in, you know, Jesus, when he held up the bread, he goes, this is for your healing. This is, my body is broken for you. Peter says, by his stripes, we are healed. And people say, well, yeah, in communion, I'm fine. I don't have cancer or a cold. No. I believe it goes much deeper than that. I believe it goes into the aspect of your ability to love, to be loved, the way you view other people, the way you view all of our world. Jesus's stripes were so that we would see things properly. And it's interesting that his stripes were in his flesh. Isn't that amazing? Now think about it for a minute. Where do sexual sins come from? From our flesh. And I believe that this is one of the things that Jesus does want to heal in us, and especially anybody that from the free love movement of the late 60s, 70s, and on up to where we're at today, really people don't even know what a normal relationship is. I just got back from a Christian camp with some kids and junior hires and high schoolers. And my goodness, their definition of what a family is the stratosphere. They have no idea. Well, we're going on family vacation with my mom's boyfriend. She's been going out with him for 3 weeks. Who are you going to be going out with next month? What's the term family even mean anymore? It's now all ambiguous. And so I really do believe that there is these what I call soul ties. Not in that it is a biblical reference, but when the Bible says the two become one flesh, I believe that flesh is divided. And I think the more a person is promiscuous, I believe the more they divide up their ability to love. And I really believe that if this is describing anybody you know or you yourself, I believe the next time you have communion and you hold that bread in your hand and you feel those rough edges, if it's broken matzos or if it's the little square, you feel those sharp little corners, there might be some sharp pointy things in your life that you really want the Lord to dissolve and take away. I would just say, ask the Lord to heal you of those relationships and those memories and those feelings and those urges and all those things. Comparing one lover to another, all those things, I think, all add into the person that we are today. And this is why I think it's so important, as the Bible says, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Because if we don't, we carry this into another relationship. And I think this is what's so dangerous. Any last thoughts on this? Because I think it's such an important part. And really, honestly, John, this is something I think, unfortunately, the church at large has broken down in communicating to its congregations. You'll find, honestly, everybody, you'll find 1,000 ministers that will line up in front of an abortion clinic. But I don't know if that same 1,000 ministers will say one thing about sex before marriage on Sunday morning in their sermons. So I think we're treating symptoms now in our society. We're not treating the problem anymore. And Jesus tells us what the problem is. And instead, we always want to treat the symptoms. Well, the symptoms are still going to be there until the problem's gone. Your thoughts?
Yeah, one final thing I would say is, it reminds me of the illustration. If you've ever seen a sticky pad, those little yellow notes, you write a note on it, you pull it off, you stick it on a computer. And then if you take that same sticky note and you put it somewhere else, and then you take that same sticky note and then you place it somewhere else, what you will find every time you pick that up and you try to stick it to something else, it begins to lose its ability to stick. And some people are like that in relationships. They go from this person to that person to this person to that person. By the time they get to the person, it's like there's no connection because they've just been worn out through all of these other things. Listen, God's design is one man, one woman for life. That is the ideal. And if you're with somebody right now who's not your husband, not your wife, guess what? There's somebody else's husband or wife. And not only that, you're in sin and you're outside of God's will and you can't go forward and God's not going to bless what you're doing. Sometimes people will come and say, hey, can you pray for me, Pastor, for our relationship? We're just really having problems. And the Holy Spirit's good in that he gives us discernment to ask questions like, well, let me ask you this question before I pray for you. Are you guys sexually active? Yeah. Well, why don't we repent And then let's change the direction here, because there's nothing for me to pray about until you get right with Jesus. We can't go forward. So I do think it's important for us to address these issues and know that God blesses this relationship when it's in the confines of his design. And that's important for us, Mike, to understand.
Yeah, you know, God made that cosmic glue to last a lifetime. So I think it's so important. Hope that helps, Jason.
Yeah, good question.
It sure does. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Jason. And again, the Bible clearly says that she ate of the fruit and then she gave it to Adam. By the way, I was doing a Bible study, or I was teaching one time, and I said when Eve ate of the tree, where was Adam? Anybody know where Adam was? And this lady put her hand up and she says, probably watching TV. I started laughing. But the Bible says she ate and then gave it to Adam. Evidently, he might have been standing right there watching her do it. I don't know. But it says she gave to Adam and he ate. So anything that tries to make the fall other than that, really, you have to really rewrite the Bible. And there's these heretics out there that love doing that. Stay away from them. You know, my dad always said something I thought was very, very important. Usually when you find somebody off doctrinally in one area, they'll be off doctrinally in other areas, because when the spirit of error works, it works well, and it really messes up your understanding of God's word. Jason, hope that helps. Stay online if you like. Send me a little book called Time to Grow if you like. We're going to go to David in Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hello, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. That was a great exposition there, if you want to say that, explanation of all that. That was helpful. I like that. And along the same kind of question, or not really question, just thought, I heard a study. It's been many moons ago now, of course, because it was from Chuck Missler.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys have. He was, from the little bits that I've heard of him growing up and listening to him when my dad was still around and stuff too and everything, very bright, intelligent man, very aware of the minutiae of so many scientific things, you know. And one time I heard him say, regarding whenever a man is with a woman and he sleeps with her, that the DNA even of a woman and the man even will change. And I don't know if I've never heard that before or since. And I just thought that was just amazing. And when you say you take this sticky note and go from the next to the next to the next, you're changing your mind, you're changing your body, and that person is too, and all the rest. And that's just, I just didn't know if you ever heard that before.
Well, the Bible says the two shall become one flesh, and it says it's a mystery. So there you go. I think, you know, everybody's got this idea that God's some kind of a cosmic killjoy. You know, if it's fun, it's sin. No, if it's sin, there's something wrong with it. Now, we may not know that. You know, it's just like, you know, somebody asked me the question one time, how could a good God put a bad tree in the Garden of Eden? Well, friends, it doesn't say that animals couldn't eat of it. It doesn't say that it didn't provide shade or something for birds or something else. God just said, don't you eat of it. Well, Satan said, God just don't want you to be like he is. Now, listen, I can say to my kids, I love you guys. You can eat what you want in the kitchen, but don't drink the drain cleaner under the sink. Did you hear what Dad said? He just doesn't want us to have any fun. Yeah, because if we drink that, we'll be like Dad. See, that's the insane mentality of people thinking, how could a good God put a bad tree in the garden? Well, it's not bad for others. It's bad for us. And was it a test? I believe it was. But it's the same thing. When we look at this, when the Bible says the two shall become one flesh, we may not completely understand any sin that we do immediately. But in time, it will reveal why God doesn't want us to do it. It isn't that God doesn't want us to have fun, but our idea of fun sometimes is so destructive. And it may take a year, it may take 10 years, it may take a lifetime to show us why God said what he said. And people just think, oh, well, I got away with it. You know, hey, you know, that was a freebie. No. You paid with that. You paid part of your soul for that. And when you start adding it all up, John, that illustration of the sticky note is one I'm going to remember, because that's true. And pretty soon, sticky note don't stick no more. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts.
True. That's right.
So, yeah. David, I hope that helps.
Yeah. I just wanted to add to it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Just didn't know if you'd ever heard that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew Chuck Missler, and he was a good brother. I went to be with the Lord. In fact, for a short time, his ministry up in northern Idaho, he handled all of our all of our books and everything like that. We had a very mm-hmm. close relationship with him, and he was on here on CSN and all. So we love him, and mm-hmm. we will see him again. I believe not very long. David, hope that helps. Stay in line. We'll get you fixed up. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of your program. We have Keith on the line, Washington. Hi, welcome. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, how can we help?
I am.
How may we help?
Well, I have a question. I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and I haven't been able to find anybody that can give me a good, solid answer on it. But as I understand salvation, we've been born again. We've had our sins forgiven. We've had Christ placed in us. Mm-hmm. We've been justified, or in other words, our guilt has been removed. We've been redeemed. And God has done all of this. And so I hear people using three or four verses in the Bible that seem to indicate that you might be able to lose your salvation.
Well, there's a lot more than three or four. The whole book of Jude is about this very topic, and we're going to talk about this, Keith, on the other side of the break. We don't want anyone to go away. And again, if you want to be part of the program, 8888, ask CSN. We'll be back after these messages.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel, South Orange County, down by San Clemente. I know if you're in the Inland Empire, especially listening on our station 103.1 in the Inland Empire, and you're out driving around on a Sunday, I know he would love to see you there, especially all those also 88.1 in the San Diego area. Once again, Church Alive is worth the drive. I know he'd love to see you. Be sure to go up and say hi. Hey, I listen to you on the radio. It's always a blessing when we get to meet our radio family. And so, John, I always get blessed, don't you?
I was encouraging, you know, because we sit there on a Sunday or stand there on a Sunday in the service, and, you know, we see the people in front of us, and we don't realize that there is an extended church family, a radio congregation that we connect with every day and have never actually met. They know a lot about you, but you've never really met them. So it's always encouraging when somebody comes. And it really, I think it helps for us as a church to know that we're investing in the kingdom of God, and the gospel is going beyond these four walls, and it's reaching around the country and different places. And so for that, it's a blessing to kind of see what God's doing in other parts of the country through CSN.
Well, and around the world, you know, we just got our statistics. Right. We have 660,000 internet listeners outside of the United States.
Wow.
And so many of them are Iron Curtain countries where communism reigns supreme. There is no God. Communism is the one that will supply all your needs, all this stuff that they rhetorically tell people. Thank God we're able to pierce in there on the internet. And so, moving close to 1 million people on the internet, John, listening to us outside the United States, that does not count the 430 CSN stations across the United States as well. So really important. Again, you can always find CSN by going to csnradio.com, csnradio.com. You can hit live audio streaming anywhere in the world, as well as where our stations are located near you. And so you'll find the whole list of the United States there. And we're in almost all states now across the United States. There's a few we're missing, but we're working on that too. And if you want to be a part of what we're doing here at CSN, be sure to check that out. We always appreciate everybody's prayers and support, and you supporting the radio ministries that really bless you. That's so important as well. With something we could never do individually, together we're able to minister to the world. And that's a real great blessing. Well, back to the phones. We have Keith on the line. Can you lose your salvation? Well, first of all, Keith, I want to say I don't believe anybody loses their salvation. But it's very clear in the scripture you can leave it. We find this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. Very clearly there. We have the entire book of Jude. Now, the last couple of verses of the book of Jude are really important because it says, now who is able to keep you from falling? And people read that and go, oh, he's able to keep me from falling. But the rest of the book of Jude, in context, do you want to be kept from falling? Jesus said it like this, if you abide in me, I in you. Okay? So we find these verses that are very clear. And so anytime I find any verse in the Bible that modifies an idea of well, you know, you're born again and you can't, you know, heaven is yours. I believe that it's yours if you want it. I think there's a greater question, everybody, than can you lose your salvation? And this is what it is. If you died today, would you be at home in heaven? Again, if you think heaven is an everlasting kegger, well, you know what? You're going to be really shocked on Judgment Day, because it's a place where God is worshipped forever. If you don't want to be in God's presence here on this earth, why would you want to be in God's presence throughout all of eternity? Whether you call yourself a Christian, backslidden Christian, whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is, if you got a biblical concept of heaven, will you be at home there? Will you go, all right, yes, I'm finally with the Lord. I'm finally with the saints. But I know people that have called themselves Christians, and they do everything they can do to keep away from church, keep away from God. Yet they still will tell people, oh, I'm a Christian, or, you know, I used to serve the Lord, but, you know, I got involved in partying, and now that's kind of what I do. I married this chick, and, you know, away they went. And for anybody to say, oh, yeah, you're still going to heaven, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it isn't the one I've got. Because the Bible clearly says that, behold, I'm coming quickly, my reward is with me. And I believe that. And I don't ever, I'm as eternally secure as I want to be in him. If I lose something, I don't know what I did with it. That's why I don't really believe a Christian loses their salvation. But I believe you can leave it. Now, if I leave my car keys on the table, I know right where they're at. I just choose not to pick them up. If I lose my car keys, I haven't got a clue where they're at. And I can spend weeks, days, months looking for them. I don't believe we lose our salvation. It's very clearly, Paul says, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. I think that's a tragedy. Very clearly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says to a Corinthian church, not a bar, not a brothel, he says to a church, do not be deceived. And he goes on and he says, those that have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why did he have to write to a church saying, don't be deceived? Evidently, there was people that came in and say, oh, once you're saved, party on, dude. Well, they were never saved in the first place. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, as you get into Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 22, it says he won't blot their name out of the book of life. Now, here's a real problem, because you had to get in the book of life to get it blotted out. Well, then people will come along and say, everybody's name is in the book of life. No, it's not. Because if everybody's name is in the book of life, then the idea of original sin is not true. And that's another conflict in the Bible. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So if everybody's name is in the book of life and you do something and get it blotted out, you know, 2 years old and stole a cookie out of the cookie jar. Oh, okay, we're going to mark him out. No, everybody's name is not in the book of life. It's those that have asked to be in the book of life. And I believe that's so important. John, your thoughts.
I want to say, sometimes we ask the question has been raised, can a person lose their salvation? And I often wonder, well, what kind of person are we talking about? And it seems that sometimes we're talking about people who are, there's no fruit whatsoever of a relationship with God. And so sometimes I think the question is not, can you lose it? But let me ask you this question. Did you ever have it to begin with? Did you know what it meant when you prayed that prayer, when you walked that aisle, when you went into the waters of baptism to identify with Jesus, the outward demonstration of the inward work? Sometimes I wonder, did people even know what it was? Were they just emotionally moved or stirred? Or did they actually realize that this was a commitment to Christ? Salvation, first of all, is a work of God from beginning to end. The Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus also promises to keep those who are his sheep. Jesus said, John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Furthermore, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. In fact, he said in Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed to the day of redemption. The Bible also says in Philippians chapter 1:6 that he who began the good work will complete it in you. God begins salvation. God continues it. God completes it. Of course, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit in that process of sanctification. And Paul also said in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you're a true believer, death, life, angels, principalities, the future, any created thing can't separate you from the love of God. And the Bible also includes in our salvation glorification, Paul said. The golden chain, Paul mentions it in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, whom he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified. These he also glorified, the Bible says. So why are there these warning passages? I think because The Bible warns about being like a dog returning to its own vomit, 2 Peter chapter 2. John says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us. Why? Because they weren't ever really of us to begin with. They never really were there to begin with. So do you lose it or did you really have it to begin with? Here's what I would say to the person wondering about their salvation today. Listen, friend, abide in Christ. Amen. Not out of fear, but out of love. You abide because he loves you. And as you abide, you have nothing to worry about. But if you tell me today, hey, I'm just going to go out and live my life like I don't know Jesus and I hope everything works out okay. I'm kind of the pan theory. I hope it'll pan out in the end. No, friend. That's not the way you want to live. You want to abide and dwell. And if you do that, I am secure in Jesus. I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I don't have to worry about it. He's got me in his hand. But if I decide, hey, Lord, I'm out of here, I'm going to do my own thing, I would never want someone to feel comfortable in that position.
Amen.
The Bible says repent and return.
So I hope that answers it for you, Keith, because, again, I always tell people we're as eternally secure as you want to be. And if you don't want the things of God, God ain't going to force himself. Chuck Smith always used to tell everybody this. He said, it's very clear. You can get your name in the book of life and you can get it blotted out. Very clear, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation 22. And he said, if I'm wrong, no harm, no foul. But, he says people that say, you can accept the Lord and, just go out and, you do whatever they want to do. He goes, if you can turn your back on the Lord, they're in deep trouble. And he said, I never want to live my life in a question mark. And I agree 100%. Because our relationship with God, just as John said, is not based in works. It's based in faith. They came and they said, Jesus, what work must we do to have eternal life? And he said, believe that the Father has sent me. Now, I believe that's really important. In fact, it's really interesting. You mentioned that verse, John. Mm-hmm. It's in John 10, where he says, Jesus said, I lay my life down, I pick it up, and no one takes my life from me. So Jesus, the Romans didn't kill Jesus. Really, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. It was Jesus laying his life down as the sacrificial Paschal lamb take away the sins of the world. The only other place that word, no one, appears in the Greek is also in John 10. And it says that no one will pluck them out of my hand. Now, the nature of the word in the Greek means no one but yourself. I don't believe anyone will ever pull you out of God's hands. I think this is really comforting to know that down the road, you think about the Christians that were fed to the lions or those around the world today that are being martyred for their faith. I'm very grateful for that Jesus said, no one will pluck them out of my hand. But that word no one excludes yourself. And that's what that word means. If you check it out, you'll find it only appears twice. And this is why I think it's important. Is that there are people. Why did Paul write to the church at Corinth? Do not be deceived. If it doesn't make any difference, if it's not an issue, then where does Paul get off? In fact, where does anybody in the New Testament get off writing a letter to contend earnestly for your faith since it really doesn't make a rip? To go party on, dude. See, that's not what the Bible says. You see, we need to take our relationship seriously with God. Not works, but faith. And this is what Chuck Smith taught. This is what I, again, as I've read the Bible through many times, I see that I never worry about my salvation. Again, like I say, you don't lose your salvation. You walk away from it. And it's very clear. Yeah, Demas, this guy that we find in 1 Timothy, that Paul is bragging about what a wonderful brother in the Lord he is, apple fruit in 2 Timothy chapter 4, having loved this present world, has departed. I don't think that should be the epitaph on anybody's Christian tombstone. I think it's that we want to be fervent for the Lord. And again, as Chuck said, I've chose not to live my life in a question mark. And I think that's wise. Not works, it's faith. What work must we do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, believe that the Father has sent me. Friends, that's faith. That's not works. That's not going door to door. That's not giving all your money. That's not perfect church attendance. That's not some religious thing we're going to do. It's based in faith. And faith is simply saying, Lord, as we confess, you're my God. And again, as Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think as long as we're praying that in our hearts every day, I think, again, we're going to be settled in our faith. And that thought of losing or anything like that goes farther and farther away. Misplaced faith is always a danger. But I want to tell you that if your faith is in Christ, you're solid as a rock. Hope that helps, Keith.
Well, you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was a real extensive answer to a question I did not ask. In fact, you didn't let me ask my question. You broke off the break. My question is, if you're truly saved, what would God have to do in order for you to revoke that salvation? You've been redeemed by God. You've been justified by God. You've been Christ has been put in you by God. I just heard said that all of salvation is of God. What would it take for a person to lose their salvation? What would God have to do? You talk about.
Okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you one the Bible says. Take the mark of the beast. Very clear. You take the mark of the beast, you're not going to heaven. There's different guys around, very well popular, John MacArthur, these guys. Oh, you can still take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. No, you can't. The Bible says he'll forgive us of anything except what he says he won't. Something else. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He won't forgive us for that. The Bible says that. So we have at least two. I've always heard it said one. And people always use the idea of the prodigal son. Well, let me share this with everybody. The prodigal son left his father. And if he would have died in the pigsty, he would have still been in the pigsty. People fail to look at that. It's only when this kid came to his senses and said, my father's servants are treated better than I am in this foreign land eating with the pigs. I'll go home. Maybe my dad will hire me as a servant. And his father, seeing him a long way off, ran and put a robe on him, ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and restored him. And do you know what's so amazing, everybody, about that story? There's not one condemnation from the father when that son came home. He didn't say, son, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Man, you really messed the farm. Not one word of condemnation. He was so overwhelmed with love that I believe, again, that father, and I believe our Father in heaven is the same way. Do we backslide sometimes? Yes. And I think it's the grace of God that keeps us alive when we're in that condition. But I'll tell you, I've known people that have known better in their life and died. And for me to stand up on a funeral service and say, oh, yeah, they love God, but, they got away and they were partying and they were drunk and hit a tree and died. And, oh, they're up with the angels playing football right now. I would no more lie to a group of people like that than a man on the moon. Because the thing is, I don't know. See, that's why the Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. What does that mean? What is the whole New Testament about? If it doesn't matter, just end the Bible at John 3:16 and let's party. Because that's the problem that I see. This is what Chuck Smith is an example. The reason I use him as an illustration is because I was schooled very much by him. And I realized that, again, the idea that when Demas departed to say he was never saved in the first place, that's certainly not what Paul said. But he left to party in the world. That's what it means. If you look in the Greek, that's what it's talking about. So I want to be real careful about that. And so what could you do to have God not forgive you? Blaspheme the Holy Spirit? And take the mark of the beast. That's that right there, very clear in Scripture. John, do you know of any? I don't know of any others other than those two.
I am not aware. I think just to want just to be succinct with the question. Listen, if you're a true Christian, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. If you're born again,
amen.
You belong to Jesus. Like, that settles it. And I think, Keith, I don't know if that was more of your question, but we just get what people give us. And the question that was on the board is, can I lose my salvation? So we're just answering based on what we get. But I hope that answers it for you. We did our best to try to give the full composite of what we're talking about here, because we get this question quite often. And so in addition to answering yours, we're also answering those that they come in. And it's Mike, we hear this all the time.
Amen.
This is a concern. And so we want to go to the Word of God for those that can have clarity on the subject. So thanks for the call, Keith. We appreciate you, brother, out there in Washington.
Yeah, you can read Revelation chapter 14 about the mark of the beast and why you have angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people on the earth, don't take the mark of the beast. You have the 144,000 Jews that are the spokesmen, servants of the Most High God during the tribulation, preaching his word, divinely protected with a mark on their forehead. Then, of course, the Antichrist comes along with a phony mark in Revelation 13. But it's very clear in the scripture that people on the earth are warned over and over again, don't take the mark. And so that is one that that's the one that I hope that solves that for you. Hope that helps. Let's go to James, Boise, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
This show has been amazing because the questions that I had were from an event that I actually went to this Saturday. It was called the Jesus Fest in Nampa. And I would go to the different tents and I'd talk to the different people there. And a lot of them just had some theology that really sounded off to me. And you guys have actually covered a couple of those things. And I was like, man, it would have been great if CSN would have been there just at the event doing a show like this, because you would have covered a lot of the silly things that I heard. One of them was about that salvation issue that you just talked about. And another one for you is I met a guy that I was sharing the gospel with someone, and he came up and was like, it's very important that we only baptize in Jesus' name, not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So after talking to him for a little while, he told me, or I found out that he was what's called a oneness Pentecostal, and that they believe that there was only Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And I was just wondering, like, I know the Bible clearly describes the nature of God being in three different persons, but why is it so important that we understand that? And like, what difference does that actually make?
Well, 1 John 2:22 says, he that denies the Father and the Son hath the spirit of Antichrist. Bang! That is probably one of the most indicting verses in the entire Bible about those that say that there's Jesus only, some kind of modalism. John, your thoughts?
Well, I think the Trinity is important, not just because it's a doctrine to understand, but it reveals who God is. If we misunderstand the Trinity, we ultimately misunderstand God. You know, here's what we know. First of all, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Isaiah 43:10 says, You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be after me. But we also know that there are three persons. Within the one true God, there are three divine persons who are distinguished from one another, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. In John 17:5, it says, And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. But also, you know, just to answer that question, James, think about the Great Commission. Here it is. This goes against what you heard this weekend. Go therefore, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, those were the words of Jesus. So I'm going to go with what Jesus says versus over a one Pentecostal version of something that's not biblical. If you want to baptize in Jesus' name, that's fine. Jesus said when you baptize, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But these three are one. There is equality doesn't mean equal sameness. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit clearly do different things from one another, and yet they are all called Yahweh God in the Bible. And all the attributes and characteristics are given to the three that are one. And so it's important for us to understand this, Mike, or we won't understand who God is as he's Amen. Revealed in Scripture.
Amen. And in the name of means by the authority of. See, they don't even know what they're talking about. If you're in a bank, someone's robbing a bank, and there's a plainclothes cop, and some guy's up to robbing the teller, and he says, stop, here it is, in the name of the law, in the name of means by the authority of the law, you're doing an unlawful act, stop, freeze, drop to the floor. It's by the authority, in the name of Jesus that we baptize. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that we baptize, because that is the authority as a person would convert from paganism in the Old Testament to Judaism. They would renounce their pagan deity, they would embrace Yahweh, and then take a ceremonial washing. That ceremonial washing, Jesus said, comes through the authority that he's given us as the first act of obedience when we're born again. Hope that answers it for you, James. Call us back. Mike, call us back tomorrow. We'll put you on first thing. And until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. John, thanks for being on.
You bet, Mike. God bless you.
Blessings to you. See you tomorrow.
Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.